back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at the Beaumont in the 21228. The sun is setting, Don Moeller, and
sun is setting.
I
starting
promised
to fill
you
up.
A mystery
you
guest
did.
In the 4:30 hour. This guy here was my quarterback. I played guard for the Dundalk Longhorns in 1978-79. Jimmy T was taking snaps from center and throwing to Johnny Rollo and John Roberts and a whole bunch of old buddies. And I was in Annapolis last week blowing off the tree lighting for my wife downtown because we played the state championship, the mighty Dundalk Owls. And I knew I was going to see a lot of old friends down in Annapolis last Thursday night. And I ran into this guy at halftime. I said to my wife, I said, that's my quarterback from my Pop Warner team. And he's one of the really kind of ascending coaches.
He's Dundalk legend, man. One of my favorite Owls.
I knew you loved Jimmy T.
One of my favorite Owls.
Hey, I appreciate
James
that.
James Thomas.
That.
It doesn't get any better. So tell us what you're up to down here at the community college.
Oh, I'm trying to give up some of my, you know, expertise on coaching basketball that I got from Ron Schultz, you know, and the late, great Jamie Wilcox back in Turner Station. You know, I'm just trying to pass along the knowledge that I have and hope that I can touch someone. You know, impacting lives is important, especially in the time that we live in, you know. And my greatest attribute is giving back because somebody took the time, you know, give me an opportunity.
Well, we were at the beginning of that. You and I had football coaches. We were little kids. Mm-hmm. I'll pull the picture out. I'll show you. You and I together right on the train tracks over there on the other side of Logan Village, right?
Yes.
And, you know, for you to take on coaching, you know, you were the quarterback when you were 10 or 11 years old. They gave you – and I never knew why. You were taller. You were kind of tall and skinny, and you were kind of – like skinny to be a quarterback to me because I was, you know, like seeing, and you were the best athlete on the team, and I guess they gave you the ball because of that. But then there comes that leadership that 40 years later, you want to lead other people. And my father was a coach, right? Mm-hmm. My dad was a little league coach and whatnot. So I always had that bent to be listening to coaches. You were a coachable kid. You were the kid that they trusted with the ball when we were 10, 11 years old, right?
Yeah, because they tell you when. Everybody has aspirations going pro. But when you don't go pro, you become good coaches, good leaders. Unbeknownst to me, it just happened to fall in place with, hey, one day would you like to just coach a team? I had nothing to do. I said, sure, not knowing it would lead 40 years later to become a coach. And so far, I've been coaching basketball for 14 years.
I'm going to say, you've done this for a long time.
Yeah, 14 years.
This has been a career for you, a real life for you. Don, how do you know him? Like, in a
how
guidance
do I know
counselor?
Him?
Were you his guidance counselor, too?
I don't know.
Let me share that because I know what you're going
to do. Here we go. He's going to out me now.
Drinks. We need drinks.
I spent more time in his office of avoiding suspensions than anybody I ever know. And honestly, because
I was probably assistant principal then.
Yes.
Were you a bad kid?
No. Just gotten into things that should have been my own business. You know, like I have a sister. In those days, you protect your sister. If somebody was mouthing off at your sister or pushing them around, even though she might handle the situation, they would come get me out of class and then would make a beeline to wherever it was happening. And he said, hey, you can't do that because it's not your problem. Yes, it's your sister.
That sounds like something I would have said.
It's not your problem. Let us handle it. And I didn't understand that because my mother and them always say, protect your sister. And when you look back at it now and you build that bond of friendship and laugh at it, it wasn't so funny when I was in his office because I had to go past his guidance counselor office to get to the principal.
Did you go past Ponzillo and Dash?
I got to him before I got to them. He saved me a couple times.
And maybe Fox would come out and grab you in the middle of the
hallway. And he said, look, man, you keep going that way, you're not going to
become anything. Hey, that's impact, man. 35 years later, I remember every assistant principal, even though I never in high school. Only reason I met him the first day of
you
high
mentioned
school.
Mentioned some good people.
Because they didn't put me in the journalism class, and my parents drove me down to Delville Avenue. You were still in the middle school.
Yeah.
And because you're a couple years behind me, and got me. But after I left him in that, I never had a problem. I knew all the assistant principals, but I never like got into trouble in high school. Middle school might have been a little different, you know. But
well, you know,
high school.
You know, James has become such a fine man, and you know, I always say it's like the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. You, those of us who were friends with you on Facebook know you've been through a tough time here. You lost somebody very, very special, and you've been remembering your dad. And maybe, you know, talk a little bit about your dad and the impact that he had on you.
My father was a hell of a man. Whatever I got into, he was my biggest supporter, along with my mother's, of course. But
is he the one drove you down to Dundalk Elementary?
Hey, he would drive us to practice, drop us off, and come back and pick us up, you know. And he would just always instill that, hey, when you fail at one thing, you pick yourself up and start anew. You just don't get behind and say, well, look, I'm not going to make it no more and don't try. And he was impactful. And every time my teams would win or lose, you know, he would call and tell us what we did wrong. He would come to the games, wouldn't tell me he'd be at the game. He would drop up from New Jersey and meet us halfway and be at the game, and I wouldn't see him until fourth quarter.
So I didn't see you until the fourth quarter. You said that over here.
So what he would tell me is, if I was there before the game, I would press too hard and try to do more.
Sure.
Stay within your lane and do what got you there. And I took that attribute from him because, you know, he was always supportive, you know, always telling me, hey, I'm proud of you. And when a father can tell his son he's proud of you without it being so much, I would guess, scripted, you know. He calls all the time, and I miss those 9:30 morning calls and just talking about life, you know what I mean?
What were those calls? What lessons do you take from Dad? You said you had these calls. They were about life. What lessons was Dad sharing?
It was about life situations. You know, we always going to have bumps in the road. But how you handle adversity makes a person. You know, a lot of times, man, you face adversity. We kept facing adversity. You don't get out of it. He said, find a positive way out of it. You know, the easiest way is to quit. When you find a positive spin on it and make the correction and it won't happen again, or if it happens again, you know how to handle it. Pretty much with coaching, I tell the kids, look, hold your head up. You know, that play is over with. We can't get back what happened yesterday. What we can look forward to is tomorrow. And he was always instilling that in me. And like you said, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. You know, he would come up to the school. It's funny you ask. I would get in trouble because I live with my mom. They would separate. My father would call from New Jersey, talk to the principal personally. Whenever Mr. Thomas get in trouble, you call my number. And I was like, and she said, hey, I talked to a man named James Thomas, who was your father. And he said, I can call him anytime I want. I said, well, next time you call him, you tell him I'm doing well, because you won't see me again. Because I would get in trouble today, and I might not see my father for 2 weeks. And he would discipline me with a beating in middle school. That happened, and the fracture was 2 weeks ago. He said, I couldn't get there the day it happened, but I owe you something when I see you.
I'm going to give you a reminder.
Right. So I'm like, you're getting a beat, but you talked to me for 2 weeks like everything was fine. He said, look, I just wanted you to know I hadn't forgotten.
We don't beat kids anymore.
No.
He had in his mind, he wanted you to be right. He wanted you to be straight.
Because he said, you carry that name no matter where you go, and people know who you belong to. So if you mess up, like I said, word travels before you get home. And when he say, hey, how was your day today? He'd have heard something.
Well, Turner's was your dad wasn't there because he was, you said, a couple hours away. Mm-hmm. But Turner's was this really special.
Oh, it's a lot of
tight-knit community. I mean, the families down there that, you know, just legendary families down there.
I mean, you got to understand, the Calvert Hills of the world. Kwaisi and Fume came from there.
Right.
You know, you have a lot of people like Mike Pack.
I was going to say the Packs.
And the Speeds, right?
Dunbar Brooks, Edie Brooks, the whole Brooks family. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a legendary group of folks down there in Turner Station.
That's why I always say, you know, we have a lot of people that influence our lives. We'd be here all day if we had to call everyone out. But we always appreciate who helped us along the way because they didn't have to. But back in those days, everybody bonded, you know. And when something happened, we all appreciate the wealth. You know what I'm saying? Even when we had bad times, we all move and learn from it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Mr. Wilcox. I called him Mr. Wilcox when he was in school. But he was Jamie to me. And that was my inspiration, him and Ashwin Ferguson, and the late great. You know my guy. I'm going to give you the answer. You know my guy.
Who's your guy?
You don't know my guy? Beasley.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I had some of the three influential people in my lives, and I can't forget Melanie Smith. She was always with me when I took the AAU teams away, and she was like, quote unquote, the assistant coach, kept the books together and everything, and my boy Jerome Hall.
See, what's coaching like now? Because people are asking, what's a Dundalk guy doing in Catonsville? Because I'm at Costas next week. I could have had you over Costas. You'd have been right down the road.
Hey, I can be there too.
But you're over here at Catonsville. You're over here at Catonsville.
Well, I wanted to come home because I've been coaching as far as Chesapeake Community College. I was at Hartford Community College. I was at Cecil Community College. Of course, I was at Baltimore City. Dundalk, they didn't have a team any longer under Rob Long. So I made a call, and they asked me would I be interested in coaching at Dundalk. Well, they had a travel team. They pushed me over to Catonsville under assistant coach Marge Brandon. And I said, I'm 20 minutes from work, and I'm 20 minutes from home. But I appreciate those beginners because if I didn't take the job at Chesapeake Community College, I wouldn't be here. But 7 championships later, I can always say the kids that I coached went on to get degrees at 4 years.
There you go.
Jimmy, we got to wrap it up here.
Understand, sir.
We got dinner.
They're coming
time
in.
Here.
Thank you. Great seeing you,
look,
man.
We're at the Beaumont, and I've been talking to have this guy on forever and ever and ever, and I snuck him in
you
on.
Snuck him in. You surprised. Yeah. Holiday surprise.
Anything you want to say about Dundalk losing last week?
Hey, they could have had that. They could have had that.
God, isn't that frustrating?
Hey, they made a lot of people happy because we showed up for them.
We had a good time, didn't we?
We had a good time. They'll be back next year.
And we're together.
We'll be together.
Go sing with me. Let each other.
Don't drive the people out of the restaurant.
All right. We're at the Beaumont. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're wrapping things up. They are serving dinner here. What are you getting tonight? What's on the menu?
Man, I'm telling you.
Steaks?
Well, if you're coming
salad,
in. Yeah,
soups,
you got to go. I mean, the fillets to die for. The New York. Just get to the Beaumont and Kate's.
You ordered my wife that pork chop tonight with the mustard on it there. What's that? The mustard rub pork chop? That's what I'm
That's
about.
Up there. Absolutely.
All right. Well, come on out to the Beaumont. Celebrate the holidays. Let's show up play with the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be at the Costas Front Bar from 2 to 5 on Wednesday celebrating 30 years of radio on Monday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And I've known you even longer.
Hey, man.
I've known him 43 years. I've been knowing this guy.
I'm adding one more for you. They've added chicken and dumplings. That could be a go-to.
Sounds like a holiday a visit. We're over here in the Ville. That's a wrap for us. We're back. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.